So yes, you may lose the seat you've had for the last 50 years. If you don't want to pay for that particular seat, you can still get in the stadium for what you're probably paying beforehand.
Does Chris look like a priest right now to you guys?
Are you dressed like a priest?
I just noticed it too. I just took a picture. I'm sending
it. Holy Chris. Life changes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, you're going to see the way the Zoom, I just sent it. You'll see why in a second.
You really got into the Easter spirit this year, huh?
The power of Chris compels you.
Ask me one of them wafers. I'm hungry. look at the picture Sinan put in there. We both saw it at the same exact time because I was trying to get the words out first.
No, there's a little sticker right there. I'm like, what is that?
You look very holy.
Welcome to On the Bench. Not a empty bench as it was last week. Don't worry, I got my reinforcements are back with me. We got a full crew. I got Josh Newberg. What up, Josh?
Yo.
I got Zach Blostein. Zachary, hello.
What's up?
And I got Chris Nee, who is dressed like a priest today.
Bless you, my son.
Can I see the full shirt, like what it's actually supposed to be?
No, you can't. Oh,
the secret?
I'm going to say, man, a mystery for you.
Ooh, I like it. I like the intrigue there. So we got all three of us here, all four of us, all three of my co-hosts with me. And it's fitting because I believe for the first time in a very long time, since this whole pandemic thing started, that this weekend, fellas, we will be a full Knowles 24/7 crew. We will all be on the bench, socially distanced, but all on the bench together this weekend. Newberg, you coming up?
Well, I have to test per CBS protocols. I have to test negative within 72 hours of me leaving St. Pete for Tallahassee. So, you know, cross our fingers.
For COVID or something else, because it's something else maybe.
You know, I don't know. I got to clarify that. I think it's COVID though.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to, hopefully you do indeed test negative, not just because that'd be good for you in general, but looking forward to seeing you, having you up here in person and us all being here.
Almost a year and a half since I've been in Tallahassee.
It's been a while. Yeah. You were going to come up during the,
I was up for the March 4th junior day.
That was the last time. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what it reminds me of, Josh, is when you were here, I think it was December, so it was when the staff was just gotten here. You had not met Kenny Dillingham yet, and you thought he was a GA at first when he was saying goodbye to Chubba Purdy. That's about like the last actual memory that I have.
Brendan, what? Kenny listens to the pod.
I mean, Kenny looks young. What do you want me to say? He's obviously a brilliant mind. He's not the mind of a GA. I'm getting myself in trouble. I'll edit this all out. Don't worry.
No, don't.
Leave it in?
Sorry, Kenny. You looked like a GA. It was meant to be a compliment.
It is. He looks young. He's vibrant. He's full of energy. That's not a negative thing.
Clearly has a good skin routine.
Okay. Chris made it awkward. That's good. That's good. It's not me making it awkward. Chris is making it more awkward. So Josh is coming up to Tallahassee, and there's a reason why. There's a spring game on Saturday, which is going to be fun to cover. It actually is more like a spring half, though. They're playing like two full quarters, and I'm sure they'll do some other like drills and stuff too, to where it just won't be like 24 minutes of football and get out. But that'll be here this weekend. And consequently, there will also be Zachary. What are we at, like 100 recruits confirmed right now for this weekend to come, quote unquote, visit?
Yeah, something around that number.
Even if they get half of that, Zach, half of that, that would be a
coup. Hold
on.
Let me just explain to the people that are listening how impressive this visitor list is. Because at Knowles 24/7, the only way you get on our visitor list is if Zach Blostein confirms you firsthand, meaning everybody that we've confirmed on this visitor list, Zach has heard from firsthand that tells him, yeah, I'll be in Tallahassee. Now, of course, some of them won't show, but this is unbelievable.
I confirmed Nick Cole. If no one wants to give me any credit for one out of 100.
I'm sure he probably reached out to Zach first and you just think you did. But this list of recruits is very impressive. I mean, considering that we're in a pandemic? We're definitely coming out of a pandemic and the dead period is still on. So none of these prospects are going to be able to meet with the FSU staff, but just the ability to get them on campus is hugely important.
Josh Newberg breaking that the pandemic is over. Good shit, Josh.
I think I counted that there were 45 or 46 four stars or higher on the list.
It's very impressive. So we say all this. It's kind of clunky and not on schedule here. It's my fault, but we're saying all this. That's why Josh is coming up here, because we need all hands on deck to cover the game and to cover recruiting, assuming that there's not a giant thunderstorm and it ruins everything for all of us. So I will throw this over to Josh. I'll let you kind of lead point here with some of the names that are on the list, or if you want to get Zach going here, I'll let you guys kind of
talk. I got it. I got it.
Spend a good 10-15 minutes on this incredible visitor list.
Yeah, and first and foremost, we have to start at the quarterback position. Nico Markiel is coming in for a visit. Zach talked to him early on. He's FSU's QB commit. The four-star quarterback out of Arizona will be making, I think, his third or fourth trip to Tallahassee in the last year. So he's kind of a regular on campus. But he's not going to be alone. Florida State's also going to host QB A.J. Duffy, who was supposed to make his decision on March 31st, but bumped it back. And also four-star quarterback out of Georgia, M.J. Morris. Morris has named FSU as leader. FSU has said they're going to take one more. Zach, how do you see this playing out on campus with A.J. Duffy there, with Morris there? Do you think that there's a possibility that we come out of this weekend with a second quarterback committed?
I definitely think there's a possibility of that happening, considering you get three of your top guys on campus the same weekend, which is kind of just unheard of. You don't really see three of your top quarterback targets visiting on the same weekend. And usually I think if they were interacting with the staff, like a normal visit, I don't think this is how they would have tried to schedule these three guys coming in. Mm-hmm. But since they're all just going to be watching the game and then maybe hanging out with some other recruits, I don't think it's that big of an issue, just as far as whatever competition you want to say between the three. But I definitely think that Florida State could come out of the weekend with either Duffy or Morris added to this class. I know Duffy still wants to visit some places, and mm-hmm. as does Morris, but you never know with the visit high and how things go that one of them could just be ready to make their decision.
Yeah, and you can see the full list of visitors on Knowles 24/7. We update this daily, sometimes hourly. Just depends on how many recruits are talking to Zach at the moment. Chris, who on this list impresses you? Who do you think is a it's really important that they're making it to campus this weekend?
Well, O-line group is where I kind of look at. You know, you got Armella on there. You got Kanaj Shulkin. Mm-hmm. You got Dartrey Richardson, Ollie Baugh. And then a couple other guys mixed in there with the 2022 offensive line group. Obviously, really important group for them to hit on this year. I think you got 3 to 4 guys there who would definitely be guys you would be happy with making your class up. Also, it's always important to keep getting the commits on campus.
Yeah.
McAdoo's on there. Devon Mortimore's on there. Nigel Kelly's on there. Aaron Hester, Travis Hunter, Sam McCall. So a vast majority of the commitments are on that list. I believe some of the younger guys are as well, like Cedric Baxter and Cameron Davis. So
Mahon Green will be there.
Yeah. And Landon Thomas, who committed yesterday, for example, told me when I spoke to him last evening that he plans to come in this weekend. That will actually be his first ever recruiting visit to FSU. He may have been here for a 7-on the summer or two ago with Colquitt County, but I don't think he's ever done any kind of like look-see on a visit.
Yeah, and you're referring to the 2024 tight end, Landon Thomas, who committed to FSU on Monday night. So 2024, that means Landon's going into his sophomore year of high school?
Correct.
Right. There you go, folks. If you didn't feel old before that, now you do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of these commitments, because there has been some talk that maybe Arkansas is making a push at a Quincy McAdoo, Nigel Kelly has been in talks with Florida and Miami. They've been referenced when his name's brought up. But seeing them all on campus this weekend is going to be a good sight for FSU, because Florida was unable to get anybody on campus this spring because they didn't open their practices, and same with Miami. Do you think that having these guys on campus is going to help, especially a guy like Travis Hunter, and how will it help FSU's recruiting this weekend?
Well, I'll hand some of this off to Zach, but yeah, I certainly think it will help. I think, one, having committed guys on campus is kind of a proving ground for them. How committed are they? Usually, if they're being a lead recruiter, a bell cow type, that's a great sign. You know, Travis Hunter has shown himself to be that. Nico has shown himself to be that for sure. I'm sure some others have as well. I don't want to leave them out. But in the same breath, if a guy comes in, he's kind of by himself, just hanging around, not real active, you know, Travis Hunter tries to talk to him and there's not much there. That can be something that maybe helps clarify if there should or shouldn't be concern with a guy. So I think it's valuable in both senses.
Zach?
Yeah.
Travis Hunter.
I agree.
Hold on. Yeah. I want to phrase this differently because I know you agree with him. But Travis Hunter comes on campus this week. Is he checking in on Thursday? What day is Travis getting in?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing because he was actually in Tallahassee this past weekend, I'm pretty sure. But I think he might have went home, and then he's coming back on Thursday for the game, like for the game weekend. And he's going to stay throughout the weekend, so it's a little bit weird there. But he'll definitely be back in Tallahassee on Thursday. That's what he told me.
What do you think his important? Like, who's he going to be locked in on recruiting wise this weekend?
Well, first off, if he does come back on Thursday, I believe it'll be with 5-star. UGA DB commit, like Georgia DB commit, Deion Bowie. Mm-hmm. He's also known as Smoke. And that's going to be the first guy that you talk about with Travis Hunter, just because they'd be driving down together. And I'm sure they're going to spend a lot of time together on that weekend.
And he's a 5-star.
Yeah, of course. And a Georgia commit. That's always a team that you want to flip guys from, just with their recruiting pedigree. And I think that's definitely where you start, and then you can move over towards either the uncommitted quarterbacks. There's also some really talented running backs going to be on campus with top targets like Damari Alston and Jalen Glover, and also you know, a really talented guy in Le'Veon Moss, who was a recent addition to the list. So there's definitely a lot of guys that Travis Hunter can go after, and I think he'll definitely be active on Saturday.
Looking here at the visitor list and talking about flips, there's not many committed prospects coming, you know, committed to other schools, but Deion Bowie's one. And then another is a 2023 standout, Pierce Spurlin. He's a tight end, 4-star out of the Panhandle area, and he committed to UGA early. However, Pierce is going to be on campus. Zach, do you think this is significant?
Yeah, I think it's pretty significant. Considering when you put it that he was also on campus for Florida State's second scrimmage a few weeks ago. So he'll be making it to Florida State's campus twice within the span of like a 1-month period, which is just a good sign. Obviously, he's a 2023 guy, so he's got a while to go in his recruitment. But if Florida State can keep chipping away at UGA in that one, and with him living so close to Florida State in the Panhandle, it shouldn't be, you know, that difficult to get them to drive over whenever they have a big event or something like this spring game.
Yeah, and he's a big-time prospect. Number 2 tight end in the 2023 class. He goes 6'6", 210 pounds, as heading into his junior season.
It is, just a real quick note on him, he's originally from near Atlanta. He moved down here, I think, in the last year. I think he actually plays with Cade Roberts over there, or at least they're buddies, and Cade's legacy kid. His dad Dave played at FSU back in the day.
Yeah, Zach, what 7-on-7 team was he running with when we saw him at IMG?
We saw him playing with Record Breakers out of the Tallahassee Record Breakers. So
Trey Donaldson's team, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. What else do we want to talk about as far as this visitor list goes? Almost 100 prospects. I guess, do we want to put anybody on commit watch? We'll have that article. Is it too early in the week to do commit watch?
I think we do that at the end of the week. Let's do it this way, just for now. We're going to play Byers Sinone later.
Okay.
But a little sneak peek, Byers Sinone, at least 2 commitments coming from this weekend.
I'm going to buy that.
Ooh, all right.
Buying,
so you got multiple.
I'm buying. At least 2. At least 2 commitments.
All right. And are we saying it has to happen by the end of Sunday?
I think reasonably if it comes within like
48 hours of the game.
Yeah, I'd say within 3 or 4 days of Saturday.
So by Monday morning, by Monday at noon, let's say.
I've also known it, but I still think it's going to be a productive weekend instead of having fruitful outcomes.
Now, Chris, he didn't say what class. So are you still Sinoning it considering 22, 23, 24? Because I'm considering it across all classes.
Don't put the priest on the spot like this. I'll go with bye. I'll go with bye in that case.
All right, Zachary.
So at least two. I think. I'll buy it. It's just difficult for me to say that there's going to be a lot of commitments just because the staff won't be able to interact with these guys.
That is
and
true.
the fact that this recruiting cycle is just so weird, and the fact that like a lot of guys aren't really making early commitments and they're waiting to take these official visits where they can actually interact with the staff. So, I think that's where I would go. I would buy, but it's going to be difficult for a lot of guys to commit, I think.
A tepid buy from Zach. We've done so three buys across the board there. If they get less than two, it's going
to
be
here. I want to frame it up for Zach. Here's a different one. Zach, 2022 only, at least two commitments.
Also known not.
Okay. So we did get a Sinone out of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a buyer Sinone for you guys, but are we going to actually do the whole thing later?
Yeah, we'll do a legit buyer Sinone in the second half after we're done with recruiting talk. Do you have anything else from this weekend? No, you got. You let me know at the break, and I'll put it down there on my list because I've actually putting this together, thinking about it for a long time. is there anything else for this visiting weekend that we want to discuss, or do you want to kind of pivot into some of the juice that Josh is starting to squeeze for the ripe future of the 2023 class? You see what I did there? Ripe juice.
Josh. That was brutal.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you think 2022 is getting off to a great start, you better just wait, because 2023 has a chance to be even more impressive. We've been talking about the staff's ability to build these relationships, these true relationships with recruits, now that they've been here for a year, and you're seeing it really pay off in 2022. I know everybody thinks like, oh, how did the light just turn on and FSU just started recruiting better? Well, it's because they built real relationships, and they're even stronger for 2023. So I'm going to be working on this 2023 stuff all week. But the first thing that I wanted to do was put out an article on the offensive and defense. The defensive side of the ball will drop. Well, it'll be out by the time this podcast comes out. But what I did was basically divide FSU's major 2023 targets into three groups. One, if they're committed, they're in that group. But then you have offensive prospects that FSU is in the lead group for. That means the top 3 to 5, you know, at least in that range, if not FSU leads for them. And then offensive prospects FSU is in the mix for, but still has work to do. And I just think it's interesting to see how this cycle is starting compared to, you know, like the 2021 cycle is a good example of how different these two are. Because 2021, I was bringing to the table like, hey, this just isn't going to look good. FSU is already fading away for a lot of these 5 stars, a lot of these 4 stars early on. While 2023 is the exact opposite. You're seeing FSU beginning to gain traction with guys that really, coming off a 3-win season, you wouldn't think they would have traction with. A Brandon Innes, a Treyon Webb, a Richard Young, all these studs on offense are really looking FSU's way. You can go on Knowles 24/7 and check it all out, but I wanted to bring Zach in here for this because you've been talking to a lot of these kids. Do you get a sense that this is different for the 2023 class with what's going on with Florida State?
Definitely. I from my talks with a lot of these guys, especially the guys down south that I've known for a while, like a Brandon Innes, who's been, you know, on the scene for quite some time. He talks up FSU and has been talking up FSU for quite some time, a couple months now, just because Florida State's making a considered effort to try and get these 2023 prospects in communication with them and building a relationship with them early on in their process. Because this is kind of the class where they get to even the playing field a little bit as far as how long they're able to communicate with these guys. Mm-hmm. When they came in with 2021, those guys have already been in contact with other college coaches at other universities for years now. 2023 is a class where a lot of these guys are starting the recruiting processes like right about now. They're getting all their offers. So with Florida State being able to get in contact with these guys early on, it's going to help them in the long run. Like you see it a little bit in 2022 with the guys they have committed and the guys they're after. They've definitely, you know, benefited from having those pre-existing and long-standing relationships. And I think 2023, you'll see that more, like you said.
Right. And FSU currently has three commitments toward their 2023 class, two defensive prospects, two defensive ends, and a running back. They're ranked number two overall and number one in the ACC. Obviously, it's really early. But if you go to Knowles 24/7 and you read my juice stories, I think you'll be pretty excited about the future.
Is this a good time for a commercial break?
Let's sneak that break in here, Brendan.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. I don't think Zach is going to be with us. No, you know what? Zach maybe will be with us. I'm over-explaining. Just stick with us. We'll see what happens. Buyer Sinone on the other side.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to On the Bench. We've got Zach for like five more minutes. So I'm going to try to speed through, get this all done if we can, and play a little Buyer Sinone, but we may not be able to. So Zach, if you have to go, you just got to go. All right, dude. All right, here we go. Josh, do you want to get started on the Buyer Sinone? You got the first Buyer Sinone question for us.
Oh, mine might be a little controversial.
I wouldn't expect anything less. That's fine.
All right. Captains of the spring game. Do you buy or Sinone this new format for FSU?
Are you talking about the coaches for the spring game? Did you butcher this already? All right.
Well, aren't they the captains?
I thought they were honorary coaches.
Coaches, captains.
You got the locals with Gene Deckerhoff and Jeff Cameron, and then you got the national coverage with Andrew Adelson and oh my god, I was going to say Jason Staples.
Andy Staples. Let me tell
Andy
you.
Staples. I was going to say Jason Staples. That's not accurate. That's not what's happening. No comment. What do you I mean, I don't know. Sinone, I don't like it. Whatever. It's fine. Bye. I don't know. I'm lukewarm. I don't care. I don't feel one way or the other about it. I know that's how you're not supposed to play. But
so I Sinone it. I feel like it's a creative idea, but I think it could have been executed better.
Okay. Executed better how, Chris?
Having somebody little more headline grabbing doing it. And I'm not talking about media members. I'm talking like maybe former players, Hall of Famers, top NFL pros currently, somebody.
Right. But don't you think that they went the media route for a reason?
Like Jeff like Cameron's going to talk about it.
They could have easily.
Last time I checked on the daily Zooms that I've lived on last year, none of those four people are on them. So, okay, sure. Like, I've got no issue with any of those four people. I'm very good friends with Jeff. I think the order of Gene Deckerhoff. I've got zero issues with Andy or Andrea. But, okay, I mean, like, no. Like,
it's terrible. It's terrible. What they're doing
is Sinoning it, Josh.
Not only am I Sinoning it, but, like, I understand what they're trying to do. You're trying to cozy up to the media. And I got no problem with that. But I can't, for the life of me, understand why they picked the people they picked. First of all, Andy Staples, and I love, like, Andy Staples is a good dude. He wrote a whole 2,000 word essay on the Big Three roll up. Shout out to Andy Staples in the
Athletic. And also he's been on the bench. You could also, you know, promote the product.
But of, Andy of is
the a podcast that you're actually on right now, Jeff.
Hold on. Andy's a UF graduate that has historically written about the SEC, doesn't have any ties to FSU, doesn't particularly report on them ever.
He does really sometimes.
Yeah, once in a blue moon. But, I mean, he's more like a general college football reporter whose home base is in the state of Florida, so he'll do it here and there because
covers the Southeast.
Within proximity, right.
And so does Andrea. I mean, she covers the ACC, but she also dipped in. Like, she was doing exclusives on Mackenzie Milton and stuff. So she.
I would have rather had – okay, I would have rather had Gene and Jeff and then have, like, the dark side. Like, Mark Schlabach – and like somebody else that hates FSU.
Pat Forty.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Like the people that were camped out in Tallahassee for all those days. And then you have like, you know what I mean? Then you have something going on. But like, I don't think anybody knows who Andrea Adelson is. I don't know if
she's been on the podcast too, you guys.
I don't know if in FSU circles that anybody knows who Andy Staples is. I would have much rather had Jalen Ramsey be the coach of one team and Derwin James be the coach of the other. But if we're going to the media route, I think this was like C and D choices.
All right.
I looked at social media posts from FSU when they announced that, and the general consensus was Jeff's a goat, Gene's a dude, and the other two are Gators, which then people were reminding people that Gene is also actually a Gator, technically graduated.
Technically.
So it humored me. Like, I don't care. I'm not losing any sleep over it. I just don't think it made very much of a splash.
I think they should have gotten David Hale on there as well because he would have played it up a little
bit. What do you think was a bigger dud? The announcement to the spring game or what's in the box on National Signing Day? Which has been a bigger letdown.
The what's in the box actually was cool if it didn't.
I mean, it was
the
build-up, so stupid.
No, but they actually had the
payoff.
The only way that would have paid off is if Destin Paison popped out of that box.
Backyard football idea was awesome, man.
I agree. Yeah. I thought they overhyped it a little. People thought it was going, especially with Yak being there, they thought it was going to be Destin Hill.
Yeah, well, they also said a special announcement's coming on the coaches for the spring game.
All right, so let me explain a few things here. We're spending a lot of time, and Zach's going to have to go and never played one by or Sinone.
I told you you didn't want to start with me.
You did. This is my fault. I'll take full responsibility for it. I also didn't know you were going to ask this either, but here we are. So two things. One, to Chris's point, all right, about not having the people who were there like regularly covering it, I think there would have been some conflict to where some NCAA rules would have made that to where you can't have people who are covering it on a daily basis.
Do you wish that they would have asked Perry and myself to coach one of the teams?
I would have signed up for that. Yeah. I've been here for that. I would have been extremely jealous that I wasn't part of it, but I would have probably taken it too seriously and ruined things.
I think me and Perry would have a bigger bump than Andrea Adelson and the other guy.
Andy Staples, who you said you loved.
I do like Andy. I do like Andy.
Yeah, it's not And then second,
with Josh, he understands he has short term.
Secondly, what they've done. All right. So I'm going to buy this now because what they've done is assured that both the Athletic and ESPN are going to write in-depth pieces, probably on their experiences doing this.
Oh, I understand why they did it. I just think that they got C and D choices. I don't think that they set out with these names.
I do not know that. I can't confirm.
I said, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're going to get they want, which is Jeff Cameron's going to talk about it on Seminal Headlines. Going to talk about it on the show.
Because he wasn't going to do it anyway.
But he's going to talk about it with a little bit more.
No, I get Jeff and Gene. I like the fact that Jeff and Gene are on there. Okay. They're familiar. Everybody who's in that stadium knows who Jeff and Gene are and are excited that they're doing it.
We're spending way too much time. Yes, getting Jalen Ramsey and Derwin James would have been a bigger deal. You're right. What do you want? Deion Sanders could have taken a break from Jackson State and been the coach. Yeah, okay. All right, cool. Sinone in it. Moving on. Sinone in it. Everyone's a critic. Byers Sinone. Randy Shannon being a great – so we're not mincing words here. Great. We're saying this is a – freaking A to A plus higher as a defensive analyst for FSU. Buy or Sinone. I'm buying it. I'm all here for it. You get the Miami connections. You get someone who's going to know what he's looking at on defense. Has been up and down defensive coordinator, but I think for the price you're probably paying for, him. Like, he's got $1 million buyout from UCF. I don't think you have to pay more than, you know, $100,000 or so for a year. Like, hell yeah, I'm buying it. What about you, Chris? Buy or Sanone, Randy Shannon being a great hire as a defensive analyst?
I mean, I feel like I'll say buy it. I do feel like that's overinflating it a bit, but
he's
a veteran coach who's been around the block, who knows how to do it on the field, has done every single thing you can ask of somebody on the field as a coach. He's also thought of as a solid recruiter who certainly has ties to an area you're trying to be better at. So I think there's a great deal of value in it. I think he'll help Adam Fuller in the X's and O's department in the sense of being somebody you can lean on and work with, and certainly has eyes for what they're looking for. And I think in a recruiting standpoint, it just further goes with what they've tried to do progressively this offseason of improving in certain areas.
Zach, before you have to go, buy or Sanone?
I'm going to buy, just because of what Chris was saying. I'll talk about just basically the recruiting impact. I think they need to establish more contacts down in the South Florida and Florida area in general. And I think Randy Shannon's going to do that for them. They've gotten guys like Ryan Bartow and others that have helped them establish themselves in these areas. But I think adding guys like that is, you know, only going to help them from here on out. And I like the hire.
All right, get out of here, Zach. It's 9:44. You're a minute. Yeah, bye. Go. Peace. Go learn. All right, thanks, Zach. Josh, buy or Sanone, Randy Shannon, great hire as a defensive analyst.
You guys cracked me up. You guys all said bye, huh?
Mm-hmm. You got to say.
All right.
You don't have to be contrarian here. If you like it, you can say you like
Randy
it.
I'm Sanone in this because Randy Shannon has infiltrated every school in the state of Florida. And name me one program where he's left and people were like, damn, I'm glad we hired Randy Shannon. It really worked out well. They were ready to get rid of his ass at UCF, and you know it. That defense was atrocious at UCF. There wasn't.
Oh yeah, but he's not coordinating the defense here.
No, I will say that I think of all the schools he's been at in the state, because now this like completes the try. I guess he hasn't been to USF yet.
Yeah, but the Big Four. He's now completed.
It's not a Big Four.
I mean, national title 2017.
I will say that at least Florida State doesn't have him coming in as an on-field coach, so the damage he can do will be mitigated because he's only off-field. But I think this is a one-year stop for Randy Shannon. I think he'll be somewhere next year. I think the people that want to be excited about it, fine. I think that there's people that are making way too big of a deal out of it. I just don't know where the value is necessarily.
But that's what I disagree with, Josh. I think there's, if we're talking about being the defensive coordinator and the portion of the fan base is saying, oh, this is Adam Fuller's replacement, I would disagree with that almost entirely. But if Randy Shannon, say like in a year, like say Chris Marv moves on or something, and Randy Shannon comes on to be your linebackers coach, I'm fine with that. The value is that
I think Gator fans, UCF fans, Miami fans will all caution you about that.
But was Randy?
They all got a story to tell.
Randy was coordinating the defense at UF, correct?
I'm keeping it real simple here. I'm not viewing him as a potential replacement of any sort. I'm viewing him solely as a defensive analyst who was hired to help in a defensive analyst.
All right, Chris, buy or Sanone, will Randy Shannon be here longer than 1 year as an off-field coach?
I don't think so.
We think he's going to be here 1 year as an off-field coach, like what are we really getting excited about?
He'd probably be able to help you a little bit more with getting to know people in Miami, further establishing
Ryan Bartow
connections.
For that.
It would not hurt to have someone else again. And that the you're talking about
Joseph,
you could do more because you need to get down there and you don't have inroads into there right now because you can actually go down there. So you have someone who's actually lived.
Ask UF fans about these Randy specials that he was recruiting out of Miami. They have a whole name for it.
What do they call
Randy
it?
Randy specials.
Randy special. But again, you're not bringing him on to be a defensive coordinator. Probably not even bringing him on with.
All right, you sold me. I'm buying it, Sanone.
Okay.
I feel like Josh is overstating what his impact can be on the
field. I think so too. He just didn't want to buy it when everyone else was Sanone.
You were also getting ready to hire him on the field immediately, Brendan. So
I was not. I was saying if in a couple of years you had him, that was not what I said. I don't like being misquoted.
What did you think of it?
Chris Marv moves on. Randy Shannon can step in as linebacker coach.
Yeah, how is that automatically promoted?
That to me.
How was that automatically promoted? Said if this happened, this could happen. Do you see how many times I couched that? And that's whatever. No.
Hey, Brendan, what did you think of the job he did at UCF?
Buy or Sanone, all in on FSU's plans to renovate and overhaul the seating inside Doak Campbell Stadium.
I'm buying it. I think I made that abundantly clear when it was announced. It basically, the simple idea is, one, improve seating options, two, create more seating options. Right now, FSU essentially has three seating options. They're looking at creating ballpark about seven. I don't think it's going to eliminate the ability for anybody to get into the stadium. It may alter where they're able to sit, depending on how much they want to pay. But it's a business, and FSU needs to run it like a business, and they need to generate revenue like it is a business. And I think this is a step in that direction. And that stadium does need some new lipstick on the pig.
So
you know what I'm buying? I'm buying Chris Knee as AD at Florida State. That's what I'm buying.
Yeah, I want to do a series. If Chris Knee was AD, I would love for his thoughts to be written down and for people to consume it or talk about on the podcast.
Well, we would have to start in the 90s when FSU missed the boat of actually generating more revenue. And they waited until dark days, and now they're here. And now you're having to try to do it when people aren't happy because the product isn't great. And you're exiting a pandemic where the economy is, you know, somewhat out of balance.
I'm so, for a revisionist history. And to be fair, it's not even a revisionist history because you've been harping on it as long as I've known you and been working with you, Chris. So,
I think it's going in a much better direction. Obviously, I like Michael Alford a good bit. I think he's a progressive thinker. I think he's allowing some of the people that do work around him who have been around this program for some time to share their ideas and allow their vision to be something that can be attempted to be sold to the fan base. They haven't broken ground on this. If they need to revise it, I'm sure they will. But I think it's a good idea, and I like that it's an aggressive step in a certain direction.
And a little bit more specifics. I talked about it briefly on the pod last week, but as when we're talking about renovation, so basically, Chris, it would, and correct me if I'm missing anything here, it would take from 80,000 seat capacity to about 70,000. And as part of that, what you're doing is you're renovating different seating areas. So there would be a VIP club kind of deal on the field where you could actually, and we saw this like in the Atlanta stadium, the Mercedes-Benz dome up in Atlanta when we were up there in 2017 for the season opener. Like you could kind of chill like on a railing overlooking the field or like on the field. So that's part of it. They have different seating levels now in the end zone. They'll have like more shade. They'll have couches. Yeah.
More seatbacks too, which I think is something that people will definitely appreciate.
So more comfortable options, more exclusive options, more options in general, other than just where your vantage point is. And I think that's, and then you're trying to place value on it, right?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest complaints is they're pricing out Jimmy's and Joe's, regular old folk. And there is some of that might happen, but I still believe those people will be able to get into the stadium. It just may bring about an adjustment from where they've sat for a decade, a couple decades. But in the same token, if you're going to do it, you reseat the whole stadium and you create a tier system with people that have either bought for so long or invested in the program for so long and work your way down and allow them to have first step. So person who's been a 50 season ticket holder can have a great choice of what their ticket will be next year if their current seat is becoming something different. And not everyone's going to be happy, but no decision is ever going to be made where everyone is happy. Ultimately, the decision has to be made for what is best for the program going forward while also improving fan appeal. And here's the thing. They sent a survey out, and they got, I think, ballpark about 5,800 back. I'm sure they sent out well over 5,800. Don't complain on the back end if you had a say in the front and didn't participate.
Was that the primary criticism that you could tell, Chris, was that people were afraid, like longtime season ticket holders were afraid they were going to get pushed back or pushed out? That was the only critique I've really heard of it, but it was a pretty vocal one.
I mean, there's a good amount of people that don't like the idea of potentially losing the seats they've had. Yes, that was something that definitely came up. Some of the other stuff is I think people just think it looks too corporate and too done up, and that dope, for whatever reason, they view as having a certain quality now. I've been going to Doak for 3 decades. It's changed a hell of a lot in 3 decades. Change is just sort of inevitable. The thing I hope is that when they do it on a scale that makes sense. I feel like the Champions Club, when it was done, I do love the Champions Club, but I feel like it was overdone to a degree. And I feel like if it was a little bit smaller, it wouldn't have quite the empty space look that we deal with in certain games when we do have quality crowds up there. So I think there's some of that factor with people too, where let's do it the right way, not just do it big in the sense of just creating more revenue in the sense of putting more people in these certain seats. You know, create higher revenue seats, but make sure it's within reason of what you can actually sell and fill.
Buy or Sinone, Josh, now that you've heard Chris Neese's stance on it, you've heard more details on it, you buy or Sinone in these plans to renovate and overhaul the seating.
I'm down with whatever Chris is saying.
Okay.
I just know that man has the university's best interests at heart, and whatever Chris is saying, I'm with it.
Okay. We had a listener ask us a question. I kind of contorted it to be a buyer's to known here, but this is from Crew 13. He asked for this to be on the podcast. He said, oh, yeah. Andrew Parchment will be what Tamarian Terry was for FSU the last few years.
I hope not. He's going to be a distraction in the locker room that's a one-trick pony on the field that catches some deep balls and some touchdowns as highlights and doesn't do much in between. I think Andrew Parchment's going to be much more than that for FSU.
So you're Sinoning it, but with a positive spin.
I'm going to Sinone it too. I think he'll be a more well-rounded receiver.
Tamarian Terry, I'm going to pull up his stats here. I learned this trick last week, guys, when I was by myself.
Google?
That helps too. If you type stuff, and I got this from the Nullcast, if you type stuff while you're talking, it one, serves as a distraction, but two, it makes you sound really smart, like you're researching stuff. I love it. I'm going to do it all the time now.
I just think Andrew Parchment's a different receiver.
And so Tamarian Terry in 2019 had 60 receptions, almost 1,200 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. The year before, he had 700 and 8 touchdowns. And obviously last year, he was dinged up, 289 receiving yards in 5 games. So it was probably like 3 games that he played. So if it, we would like that production would be welcomed, right? But Josh, your concern is that Tamarian stuff was empty and hollow statistically. Is that what you're kind of saying? We want Andrew Parchment to be
I don't want to say it was empty and hollow, but if we're being serious, from what I've heard, Andrew Parchment's a more well-rounded receiver. And I also don't think he's going to be the distraction that Tamarian Terry had 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So when you talk about him as a football player and you talk about him, you know, as a teammate in the locker room, they're kind of two different things. He definitely had his moments where he was a star on the field. I just don't think that he added very much to the team in the last year, despite his stats.
I'm a man who adamantly hates player comparisons. A doesn't equal B.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm just not going to do that very often. And I don't think Parchment and Terry are extremely similar. I think they both have big playability, but I think it's in different forms and fashion.
Well, Parchment's more, as I've seen him, and it may be completely different with a more functional offense around him, but a jump ball specialist in a lot of ways. Like, he's got some basketball bounciness to him. Tamarian, for the most part, was he's really big, strong, and fast, and would kind of just beat you immediately from the word go and just beat you on streak patterns.
Play bowling ball.
Yeah, I think the hope is that Parchment can win some in a phone booth, and Perry is more likely to run by the phone booth and catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Parchment's also expected to add to special teams as well.
Yeah. So I'm buying it. Like, I think his production, like, if you can get him between 800 and 1200 receiving yards in a full season, I think that's wide receiver 1/wide receiver 2 type of stuff. I think that's what you ultimately want from him. You just want to be more consistent and more buy-in, I guess, than what you saw with Tamarian in the last year. But I'm buying, like, in general, like, you were bringing him in to be your number one, and that's what Tamarian Terry was supposed to be. You'll probably use him in a similar way outside mostly, but move him all over the field to create mismatches. The last one for me, it's not really a serious one, but I couldn't think of any others. Byers Snone, I just saw a picture of him. AJ Duffy looks a little bit like me, Byers Snone.
I'm Snoning that. I don't need to explain it any further.
I buy it. You look great today. You look great. You look young. You look fresh. I'm buying it.
I'm back at the gym. I'm vibrant again. I'm wearing a mask like an idiot in the gym, but I'm in the gym.
You're fully vaccinated, wearing 2 masks in the gym, but hey, look at you.
It's hard to lift with a hazmat suit on. It gets in the way a little bit too.
You accidentally wore a beekeeper suit instead of your hazmat suit.
I think that would be sufficient as well. All right. For Josh Newberg, for Zach Blaustein, for Father Chris Nee, I'm Brendan Sinone. This has been On the Bench. Hopefully we'll talk to you guys later this week. If not, you will have a full report of all 4 of us being on the bench literally together again on Monday. So until then, peace. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.